Well, now that you've succeeded in creating such a gale in this room that I can't possibly read the morning paper, I hope you're satisfied.
This gentle little spring zephyr? Surely you don't object to that.
Spring zephyr? I strongly suspect that somebody next door is cooking cabbage.
You're right, Watson. Absolutely right.
Don't tell me that you're going to deprive us of that delicious smell.
Right again, Watson. Better the elusive essence of our own familiar thin and heady than the bold foreign odor of our neighbor's cabbage. Oh, by the way, speaking of the morning paper, I wish you'd just glance through the articles on the front page and see which of England's famous mouthpieces have been stolen during the night.
Holmes, you're roaming.
Not at all, my dear fellow. Our friend Moriarty has developed a new field of activity, relieving certain well-known English families of their inherited old masters.
What do you mean?
Paintings, my dear Watson, paintings. They can pick up from their frames, rolled up and secreted in a very small space. Yes? Moriarty, or rather his henchmen, have been specializing in this field for almost a month, and to date have acquired 11 famous paintings. The insurance companies are frantic. But, what does this morning's paper have to offer?
Just a little time, I just hope you can. Let's have a look. Runaway horse in Piccadilly. Queen opens bazaar. Engagement of Lady Dolores Gumfield, Prince Leonardo de Ronquillo announced. On the eve of daring burglary.
What?
Gumfield Leonardo da Vinci is stolen from library while guests take Mary in his ballroom.
But Gumfield da Vinci gone. Why, that's the greatest masterpiece in England.
Huh?
Of course not. It was never publicly displayed. I doubt if they've even allowed it to be photographed.
Why all the secrets?
Well, it has a curious story, Watson. It's supposed to be the portrait of the first Earl of Dunfield's Italian wife and came with her from Italy at the time of the marriage. 4 years later, she ran away with a handsome son of Romany and joined a band of wandering gypsies. The Earl was rather annoyed, as you may well imagine. But he refrained from destroying her portrait because, even at that time, it was considered valuable. Several visitors to Dunfield Castle have managed to see the picture, but no one has ever dared to bring up the subject of Mona Banna, as the picture's called.
Mm-hmm. How romantic.
Yes, quite. So, she finally disappeared in the night, like the famous lady she portrayed.
Hey, look here, Holmes. You've been stolen painting. Well, they're all well-known. There's no market for that sort of thing. Who buy them? I think Professor Moriarty disposed of them with any profit.
My dear Watson, that is not as difficult as you might imagine. There are several unscrupulous millionaires who give their eye teeth to have one of the late masterpieces in their possession. Yes, but very lucrative. However, I fancy our friend Moriarty is overstepping himself a bit this time. In fact, he's already made one misstep. Just one little misstep.
Huh?
Nothing for which I could name him into a court of law. But it was more than he could well afford. It led me to a place of residence.
You mean this was acting between you?
Not face to face, Watson, but I had a glimpse of him as he got into his carriage the day before yesterday. I strongly suspect he saw me, too.
Well, what's he look like?
He's extremely tall and thin. His forehead domes out in a white curve and his eyes are sunken deeply in his head. No hair on his face, no hair whatever. He's a beard, no eyebrows. And I suspect his head is bald, too, for he wears a wig. His shoulders are rounded from much study, and his face protrudes forward and is forever slowly oscillating from side to side in a curious reptilian fashion. He has no eyelids in the ordinary sense. But now and then his eyeballs are obscured like those of the snake. Yeah. How did you get in?
Dear man, I've been in possession of the key to your front door for some months now. I may add it's not the first time you've been in this room.
Why, you sneaking, sniveling...
Watson, Watson, for heaven's sake. Stand back. Don't give it to me.
You know, Holmes, it's a dangerous habit to send your loaded firearms in the pocket of one's dressing gown.
Very well. I shall bring it out into the open where you can see it.
Mr. Holmes, you have been... Expected.
Now, Professor Moriarty, I can spare you 2 minutes. If you have anything to say.
All that I have to say has already crossed your mind.
Then my answer has probably crossed yours.
you stand fast.
Absolutely.
Now, let me see. I noticed you first crossed my path on the 4th of January, Mr. Holmes.
Yes, there, up a Hindu in the basket.
On the 23rd, you incommoded me. By the middle of February, I was seriously inconvenienced by you. By the end of March, I may say I was even hampered.
Ah, yes, yes, yes. The waxworks affair.
Exactly. And now, in the middle of May, I find you actually trailing me about. Well, it almost amounts to persecution.
Yes. I hope you've noticed that.
A few moments at this rate, and I might even be in danger of losing my liberty. The situation is, of course, becoming quite impossible.
Indeed. Have you any suggestion to make?
You must drop it, Mr. Holmes. Dear me, really must, you know.
Oh, come now, Professor Moriarty.
My dear Mr. Holmes, I'm quite sure that a man of your intelligence will see there can be but one outcome to this affair. You must withdraw. I urge you to withdraw.
Very considerate of you, I'm sure.
You stand not only in my way, but in the way of my entire organization. The full extent of it, you with your gentleness have been able to realize. You must have the silence to home or be trodden underfoot.
I'm afraid that in the pleasure of this conversation, I'm neglecting my other business. 2 minutes was up 30 seconds ago.
Don't be hasty, Mr. Holmes. I'll give you until tomorrow to think it over.
Very good of you. But I'm quite prepared to give you my answer now. Oh, what can you think of that is, will you?
Good, John.
Good.
Thank you very much. It's a telegram for you, Holmes.
No? See what it's about.
Well, Jones. Roy.
What's it say?
I can't see where I get my spectacles.
Here we are.
Grumfield, Da Vinci insured with us for £10,000. We are relying on you to find it. Roy.
You are not going to take the case, Mr. Holmes.
And why not?
Because it isn't safe.
Watson, take a message to Lloyd.
Yes, sir.
Delighted to accept the commission. We'll go down to Dunfield Castle this afternoon. Signed, Sherlock Holmes. There. I think that will serve to answer both you, Professor Moriarty, and Lloyd.
It does that indeed. But I promise you, you'll never succeed, Mr. Holmes. I say your days are numbered. Still, if by some freak of destiny you should be responsible for my destruction, rest assured that I shall do as much to you.
You pay me several compliments, Professor Moriarty. Let me pay you one in return. I will say that if I were assured of your destruction, I would gladly, in the interests of public safety, face my own.
I can promise you the one, Mr. Holmes. But not the other. Good day.
How did you happen to come into this room and discover the picture was missing? I thought it was never open during festivities.
Well, very late, Mr. Holmes, all the entertainment goes on down on the wing opposite. That's where the door
came in here.
It was like this. I was coming down to see it all. With a tray full of cakes in the maids went, oh, dear, the place is broke loose.
Very embarrassing.
Yes, sir. So I pops in here to fix it. The first thing I see is that empty spot on that there wall where she used to hang. Mona's on it, I mean, sir. Well, it don't look right to me. So I runs quick to the window, and there I see that ladder propped up against the window sill like it is now.
Mm-hmm.
And a gig driving away like the devil itself was after it over that long hill.
Yes, we don't
know. So then I let out a yell and wake up the dead.
Yes.
And they all come running in here. Listen.
Yes, we covered everything with fingerprints. So if this criminal didn't get any, they're no good to any of us.
Didn't anyone try to overtake the man on the gate?
Oh, that they did. But the minute you come to the forest, there's so many cars. Well, you get lost somehow. And I don't stick to these main roads, you see, sir. Well, they found the frame lying at the bottom of the mill pond.
Yes.
Couldn't see it. All gold and big as a table.
Yes.
But the picture wasn't in it.
Cut out,
eh? Yes, sir. At least that's what they tell me. Now,
Was this window shut or open when you came into the room?
Why, it was shut, sir. They always shut it in the evening. Master's orders. He's very strict.
I wonder if the burglar knew about that. Or if he was just naturally
confused. Looking around this chalice, what's the difference in making the window open or shut?
Hopkins,
Did anyone go out and look at the ladder from the outside?
Oh, no, sir. You see, it was raining like a flood. Only the young gentleman who went after the gig.
Yes.
They didn't mind.
Then that line of footprints down there in the drying mud must have been made by the criminal himself.
I don't see any footprints, sir.
There's rather shaky indentations to the light watch. I think the rain has pretty thoroughly destroyed them.
That's pretty.
Yes, all we can see is that there are two lines of footprints. One coming and one going away. The second are much deeper. The frame has been very heavy. Now, Hopkins, will you tell Lord Gunfield that I'd like to speak to him here in this room, if it's convenient?
Oh, very good, sir. I'd ask very much if you'll come.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes, sir. You see, he was anxious as how this unfortunate occurrence shouldn't make any difference about Lady Dolly.
Yes, I know that. I understand about Lady Dolly.
Yes, of course. Well, he says the police can come and investigate all they have in mind. That's what he said, yes. And even the rest of them, they're just going to pretend it never happened, and they don't want to hear any more about it.
Well, suppose you tell him, because if he doesn't come, I shall have to advise Lloyd against paying him this insurance.
Yes, sir. By the way, I must tell you about those rooms.
Yes, Lord Dunfield. I'm acting on behalf of Lloyd's, the insurance company.
Hopkins tells me you have some questions to ask me.
I have, if you'll be good enough to come in and shut the door. Yes, I'm sure that it will be advisable in the end.
Well, if you say so.
Now then, Lord Dunfield, is there anything missing from this room besides the monodon, as I think she was called?
Certainly not.
You seem very positive, Lord Dunfield. This room is filled with knickknacks. With jade snuffbox, that ivory statue. A set of crystal scent bottles, any one of which could have easily been slipped into the pocket of a thief and converted to quite a tidy little sum, and yet you say nothing is missing.
Well, that's because I haven't looked very carefully.
Now, there's a jade snuff box, really. You'll be ready to swear that it's the one that always stands on your desk?
Well, yes, of course, but...
Examine it closely. Jade is easily imitated, you know. You are convinced that it's not a copy of the original?
No. Jade is a hobby of mine. I can tell you by the way it feels.
The
surface,
you know.
I see. Thank you. I'll put it back.
Look, I'm sure you can take on Gunfield's work. What do you know, Jade, than you do? Why are you examining it with your magnifying glass? It's
not quite. Compared to alarms or conveniences, that's not. That's because they consider it a bad
risk. And now it's gone. All you're able to realize is £10,000. What can you do to sell it before this happens? Surely you could sustain several times that amount for it.
Well, you're wrong.
Indeed?
Yes, you see, that portrait was in chaos. It was part of the estate, like the trust, surrounding the ground. Each heir to the Drumfield title has the use of them while he lives, but at his death, they must be turned over intact to the next in line.
It is because I understand that he's no fund income, not even touch the capital.
But in this case, there was very little income. Am I right, Lord Drumfield? That's why you did it.
I understand.
Yes, I think you do. The Da Vinci was stolen from this house with the help of someone on the inside. And that person was you.
Mr. Holmes, I was...
Remember that I'm not a member of the official police force. If I were, I'd be obliged to charge you here and now and have you removed to jail.
Very unspeakable, but I shall attend.
As it is, my only interest is that Lloyd shall not be obliged to pay the insurance money. I'm in no way concerned if a country gentleman wishes to rob himself. That is, as long as it's not at the expense of my client.
Tell you, I didn't do it. What is the fact? Oh, terrible. Must have the insurance money. You can't prove anything.
That's where you're wrong again. If you come here a moment, I think I can prove it to you. Now then, get out of that window. The ladder by which the painting was removed is still here. As are also the footprints of your accomplice coming and going through the mud. You will notice that the rungs of the ladder are caked with mud when he takes his boots. The mud stops on the third rung from the top. And there's none in the room. Therefore, Moriarty's man did not enter the house.
You can see that, but... Oh, why suspect me? Why not one of the servants or the guests? The house was full of people,
aren't right. But only one man left the print of his thumb high up on the wall as he stood on the library ladder to remove the painting, and that thumbprint corresponds exactly to the one that you just made on this little jade box.
Put
the painting down from his hook, and it's the man who was waiting at the top of the ladder, and from force of habit, closed the window after him. That was the most damning clue of the lot, that closed window. Can you imagine a thief weighed down with a very heavy painting, 6x4 in size, and tipping back and forth on the top of a rickety ladder? Can you imagine the gentleman lightly holding this treasure in one hand, while with the other he considerably closed the heavy window, which more of a is in the habit of sticking?
All right, what should I do? He proud Italian candid and sits on the marriage bed. My only child, Mr. Holmes. Day after day, I've kept getting this big barrack for Carthelon. Such a good Palin. But I decided to take matters into my own hands. I don't regret it. to it again tomorrow. My only father is that I was found out.
I sympathize with you, Lord Dunfield. I'll admit that now and then I have regretted my remarkable power of conversation.
By the way, can you give me a description of the man who carried off the painting? I don't suppose you know his name.
No, I'm afraid I don't. Tall,
I should
say. Small, bullet-shaped head.
Fine jaw.
And just
back there.
Scar leading to the left ear?
Why, yes.
I thought so. Cannonball Charlie.
Hello,
Dunfield. I think you should be able to at least recover your Munavana for you.
I don't want it. I never want to see that face again.
I couldn't bear to see Munavana looking down on my daughter.
Broken room.
Broken room, man?
Like, you know, that Lord Dunfield.
I just explained.
Yes, I understand. But I may be able to arrange even that. You see, after all, I'm not a member of the official police.
Here she is, Mr. Babington. Sherlock Holmes knew Cannonball Charlie and his past history. He arranged to have a painting sold, Sub Rosa, to an American connoisseur millionaire. And Mr. Charlie received a diary worth many times £10,000.
Thank you, Dr. Watson. In exactly 30 seconds, the doctor will give you the highlights of next week's adventure. In the meantime, here are a few highlights for today.